Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Tes. We're holding a daf Lamed Ches and base. We are at Amar Rava, three lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also sponsored by the Cohn, Gordon, and Steinmetz families in memory of Rabbi Howard Joseph, Harav Chaim Shmuel Ben Tzvi, Zichrono Livracha. Rabbi Joseph was a musmuch of Rav Salvechik and Rav Dr. Belkin, and was a pillar of the modern Orthodox community in Montreal, where he served as the Rav of the Spanish and Portuguese Synagogue, the oldest synagogue in Canada for over 50 years, Neshama Shev Naliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today as follows. The Gemara is going to talk about how one should be careful not to split up the phrases Baruch Haba and B'Shem Hashem from each other, nor should one split up Yehi Shmei Rabba from Mevorach. However, Rav Safra holds that you are allowed to pause in between. Then the Rebbe Lazar is going to introduce the Minhag to double the certain Sukkim in Hallel, the one starting from Odcha, and then we're going to have three different sources for the idea that the word Over means prior to, because we're going to be discussing the idea of saying Brachos Over La Asiyasan, and then on Amud Beis we're going to discuss buying an Esrog Shal Shavias from an Ama Aretz, because Peros of Shavias are meant to be eaten. You're not allowed to do Schora with Shavias produce, and you're allowed to give Shavias money to an Ama Aretz. Can he be trusted with that money? The Gemara is going to discuss how when you buy from an esrog from land that was meshumar, that was guarded during Shemitah year, you can't even give the Am Haaretz the amount of money that can support him for three meals. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, and what about paying for a lulav? I mean, this is all very nogeya for next year's buying of lulav min esrogim, when it actually grew during Shemitah. But what about buying a lulav during the Shemitah year? It's really considered, so the Gemara is going to say that you could pay for a lulav because it's really considered the sixth year produce, because in regards to maestros, it goes according to the chanata, unlike the esrog, which goes according to Likita. So by an esrog, you can't purchase an esrog from an amaretz, because the Tan of our Mishnah holds that an esrog goes according to the Likita, and therefore it would be considered Shemitah produce, which has the dinim of Shavia. So we're going to have that major sugya of esrogim and lulavim of Shemitah in today's daf. So let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page, Lamed Chesam and Beis, from Scranton, Pennsylvania, over here. Bez Hashem, this whole week will be Zoom only. So today's the only day that's not going to be the normal time of the daf shir. Every other day, Be'ezras Hashem, will be normal time, just Zoom only at 6:15 a.m. Be'ezras Hashem. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Lo Leima Inish Baruch Haba V'Hadar B'Shem Hashem. A person shouldn't say Baruch Haba and then like take a breath, a pause in between, and then say B'Shem Hashem, because it's if you say it in that way, it's not clear that the Shem Hashem is going on the previous words that you said, and it's as if you're being Motzi Shem Shemayim Livatala. Ella Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem V'Adadi. You should say Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem as if it is one single phrase. So there's a question whether we should be go-race the parentheses. We're going to skip the parentheses now because it makes more sense to have this line where it actually appears in one line from now in the Gemara. So Amar Rava, Rav gives another example of where a person should not pause. Lo lema inish yeheishmei Rabba. A person should not say the phrase yeheishmei Rabba and then pause v'hadr mevarach and then say mevarach. Ella yeheishmei Rabba mevarach ba'adadi. You should say yeheishmei Rabba mevarach all at one time. Amar Rav Safra. So Rav Safra says to Rava, Moshe, Shapirka Amrit, are you saying correct? Now his name wasn't Moshe, his name was Rava. Rava was one that was saying all of this, but he calls him Moshe because it's a way of speaking with respect to tell him that he's a Gadol Adar, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who brought us the Torah, obviously. And when you refer to someone with a great level, at least it used to be in times of the Gemara, when they would refer to someone as the Gadol Adar, they would say Moshe. I just read somewhere that someone gave me a book in Hebrew of biographies of a variety of Gedolim that had a major impact on Klal Yisrael. So there was like 30 pages on Rav Moshe Feinstein. So it said that since he was born on Zayin Adar, that's why his parents named him Moshe, after he was actually named after Moshe Rabbeinu. And he always thought that was a big achrayus that he had to be concerned for spreading Torah to Klal Yisrael, because he had to carry on the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he called call someone by that name, and it tells them what they stand for and what they do. So Moshe, he says, Shapir Kamrit, are you saying correctly? It can't be that if you're mafsik in the middle, it's considered a hefsik, as if you were maskir shem shemayim levatala, because you're going to finish the phrase afterwards. So it's clear that you're trying to conclude what you were saying previously. No, both in the case of Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem and in the case of Yehi Shmei Rabbah, it's clear that you're just concluding the phrase, and therefore it's not going to be considered a problem whatsoever to take a breath, take a beat in between Baruch Haba and B'Shem Hashem. Now the Rishonim disagree what Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach actually means. Meaning, what does the word Rabbah mean in that phrase? We know there are a lot of wonderful statements in Halacha and Maimari Chazal about the importance of Yehi Shmei Rabbah, that you have to that the person should answer Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach B'Kol Kocho when it's Koren Gezardino Shel Shivim Shana. You know, it has a tremendous impact. But Kol Kocho we assume means Kol Kavanaso, that a person is supposed to say Yehi Shmei Rabbah with full Kavana. Good. What's the Kavana supposed to be? What does the phrase mean? I'll say it, you know, I'll scream it at the top of my lungs, but if I don't know what I'm saying, so what exactly does it mean? So there is a Machlokes Rishonim, and Machzor Vitri writes that it's a tefillah that we're being mispalel, that the Shmei, Shem Ka, should be Rabbah, should be Shalem again, because the Pasuk says in Shemos Ki Yod Al Kes Ka, in the Mechulta Darshins, that the name is not Shalem at Sheim Chazara Shalamalik, that the Shem Hashem is not complete until the Zara Shalamalik is wiped out. So we daven that the Shem HaGadol should be Shalem, and then we're going to have a Geula. So Yehi Shmei Rabbah is one tefillah. We're saying that, and then we're mispalel that Olam Olam Olamaya, which is an additional bakasha. But the Re explains Kipshuto. This appears in Tosos at the very beginning of Shas and Dav Gimel Amud Aleph in Mesechas Brachos, where the Gemara tells the story of who was it? Rabbi Yossi, I think, that went into a churva to daven, and then he encountered Eliyahu Hanavi afterwards, and he gave him musar that you don't go into a churva. So the Re explains that it's one tefillah, and that's Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach, that the Shmei Rabbah, the Shem HaGadol of Hashem, should be Mevarach. So that's the point of contention. Is it that the word Rabbah is a tefillah of what should be with the Shem Hashem, or it's a description of what already is the Shem Hashem? Is it that the Shem Hashem should become Rabbah, or is it that the Shmei Rabbah, the great name of Hashem, should be Mevarach? In our sugya, it seems to be Mefurish like the Re, because we're saying that you shouldn't be mafsik between Yehi Shmei Rabbah and Mevarach. So you see that it's one tefillah. According to the Machzor Vitri, it's really two separate tefillahs. Why wouldn't you be able to be mafsik between them? Rava should have said between Yehi Shmei and Rabbah not to be mafsik, not between Rabbah and Mevarach. And also from Rav Safra, it sounds that way, because even though he disagrees with the din of Rava, he doesn't disagree with the tam of Rava. He just says Asuki Milsa Leslanba. He says everyone realizes that you're finishing up what you're saying, that it's really the same phrase. But it seems pretty clearly in our sugya that it is in fact the same phrase, and therefore it's very difficult to understand how to defend the Machzor Vitri from the fact that our Gemara seems to say Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach is all one phrase, and it's not two separate phrases. So some suggest that it's not a kasha on the Machzor Vitri, because even if Yehi Shmei Rabbah is what the Machzor Vitri means, that it's the Shem Hashem should become Rabbah, from the previous din of Rava, we learn that you're not supposed to be mafsik between Shmei and Rabbah, because then it looks like you're being Shem Shemayim Levatala, you're being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. And that's why he doesn't mention that chelik of it, but that part is also true. Rava is just coming to tell us in his additional din that even though there was makum to say that after you say Yehi Shmei Rabbah, it's a tefillah achas, so now you could be mafsik between Yehi Shmei Rabbah and Mevorach, because that's another tefillah, so Rava is being mechadesh, and even though it's another tefillah, it also goes back on Yehi Shmei, and it's as if you're asking two bakashas. One, that Yehi Shmei Rabbah, that the Shem Hashem should be Rabbah, and another bakasha, that his Shem should be Mevorach, and therefore you shouldn't be mafsik, meaning Enochinami, Rava is taking it for granted that you shouldn't be mafsik between Shmei and Rabbah, because that clearly is a single bakasha. And then he says, a chiddush, on top of that, you also shouldn't be mafsik between Rabbah and Mevarach. That's how the Chidah writes in Birkei Yosef to defend the Machzor Vitri From the Kasha on based on our Gemara. So there are other approaches in Poskim as well. The Poskim will discuss this because it's a matter of halacha in terms of being mafsik between Yehishmei and Rabbah. In the Sefer Bnei Yo, he says that why is it that the Chazal decided, Rabbah decided to identify these two spots? Why not say by every single bracha that we're knowing to say every single day, 100 brachos, not to be mafsik between Baruch HaTov and Hashem Elokeinu, right? That's also, you're not supposed to be mafsik. It's really obvious that Hashem Elokeinu goes back on the Baruch Ata. So the Bnei Yo suggests that the bracha certainly on its own should be one hemshech, and you shouldn't be mafsik in the middle. But by Kaddish, where they would say it with a niggin, and some were menagin a lot, and they would wait between one word and the next word through the niggin that they made between them. So he's saying, you know, a lot of times you try to attach a niggin to a chelik of davening, you have to make sure that you're not messing up davening when you attach the niggin. And sometimes you have a very nice tune that you want to put into davening, and it's very inspiring, but it could mess up the whole tefillah. So that's of course you shouldn't say Baruch Ata, pause, and then say Hashem Elokeinu, because obviously it's Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu all in one phrase. But no one says Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu in a niggin, but with things that people say in a tune, then you have to be more cautious that you're doing it correctly and that you're saying words that actually makes sense. He also, the Achronim also suggests that all brachos, it's pashat that you shouldn't be mafsik. But by Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, we would have thought that since the minig is that the chazan is makri when he says Baruch Haba and the kal answers B'Shem Hashem, and I would have said even when you kori la'atzmo, you could do a similar thing that you could just like by, when the chazan says and then the kal says back. So there's by definition a little bit of a pause. I might think even when you're saying it yourself, there could be a pause. So kamash malan, that if you're being kori la'atzmo, you shouldn't do that way. But Yehishmei Rabbah is telling us that even though you already mentioned the shame at the beginning, we still have this chashash, and you're not allowed to be mafsik, like the Gemara says in the Torah. A person shouldn't say la Hashem korban. You should say korban la Hashem, because maybe you'll be posheya and you won't be mesayim. You won't conclude the phrase properly. So anyway, so this is the machlokas between Rava and Rav Safra. Now we move on to the idea of being kofel psukim. So makom shenagu lichbol. We said in the Mishnah that if you have a makom where the minig is to be kofel psukim, to double over the psukim in Hallel, so you can do so. So Tana, Rabbi kofel ba devarim, Rabbi Lazar ben Parto Mosef ba devarim, that Rabbi would be kofel in saying Hallel, the psukim of Hallel, from Ana Hashem and on until the end of Hallel. And the Bryce says, Rabbi Lazar ben Parto did even more. He was Mosef ba devarim. He was kofel. He doubled over even more psukim of Hallel. So my Mosef, what does it mean that he was Mosef? It doesn't mean that he added to Hallel, that he wrote new paragraphs of Hallel. So Rabbi Mosef Lichbol Me'odcha Ulamata. No, it means he added more psukim to double over, starting from Odcha Kinisani and on. And he held that that entire mizmor in Tehillim should be kofel Me'rosh Aviat Sofer from the beginning to the end, and therefore he's Mosef to be kofel from Odcha and on, so that the entire mizmor will be kofel. The entire mizmor will be doubled over. The Kapos Tamarim raises the question that some of the psukim are already doubled over without saying them twice, like Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem and Yer Kofel Beruch Nuchem Mi Beis Hashem Keli Atav Odecha, and we say that we're Kofel with Elokai Arom Mecca. So he says that's why the Rashbam writes that the main reason is because the covenant of Yishai and Shmuel and David, that they say these psukim over there, that they're Kofel them. So and that's what the Ritva and the Rash write as well, that we're Kofel to let it be known that David didn't say it. All these things were said together, and it's like the eight psukim from Vayamas Moshe until the end of the Torah, where you do it differently than the rest of Torah. Where we say that Yachid Kori Osan, it's to let it be known that Moshe didn't write them, at least didn't write them in the normal way. So that's why we're Meshana these psukim as well, to tell us that David HaMelech, these psukim were not written Al Yedei David HaMelech Ba'atzmo. That's what the Rishonim, the Kapos Tamarim suggests, I'll shame the Rishonim, that just like in the last eight Pesukim in the Torah, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Basra, it doesn't make sense that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight Pesukim, because it says eight Pesukim prior to the end of the Torah, Vayamashar Moshe Eved Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu died, and dead people don't write, dead people can't be writing Pesukim, and living, honest people shouldn't be saying that they've already died. So how can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight Pesukim? So the Gemara is Machlokas Tanaim over there, that some say That ain't a chinami. Moshe didn't write them, Yoshua wrote them. And others say that Moshe wrote them, but he wrote them bidema, but they were distinguished, and therefore the Gemara says we're knowing to that Yachid Korei Osam. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim what it means Yachid Korei Osam. We assume that you read it only in one aliyah, you can't make it a hosafa in with the last eight psukim of the Torah. We also are makbid that a miyuchad shebekahal should be Korei Osam, that you try to give it as a big honor to the, you know, to Chasan Torah, to someone who deserves a special aliyah. So that's what they suggest. That a similar thing over here, that this mizmor is singled out and said differently. Anyway, the varech yivarech, in a place where they have a minhag to say a bracha, so you say a bracha in the halal. Amar Rabbi Lo Shanu Ela Achrav. The whole discussion about minhag to say a bracha is only about a bracha after halal. That's where if there's not a minhag, so you don't say the bracha. Aval fanav, but to say a bracha prior to halal, mitzvah levarech. There's a mitzvah to say a bracha prior to halal. Dam Ravidam Shmuel, kol mitzvahs kol mivarchan aleinu v'las yasan. All mitzvahs you're supposed to say a bracha prior to the performance of the mitzvah. So recitation of halal is a mitzvah like any other, and therefore, of course, you're going to have to say a bracha prior to reciting halal. Umay mashma dahay over lishna da akdumehu. How do I know that the word over means to do before the mitzvah? Meaning, it says every mitzvah is supposed to be mivarich over las yasan. But who says that over means prior to? That it means before the mitzvah. So says Mar, Damar of Nachum Yitzchak, we have three sources. Number one, Dechsev Vayaretz Achimatz Derech Hakikar Vayavar Esakushi, that Achimatz ran and he was Vayavar Esakushi. He arrived at David HaMelech prior to the Kushi. So do you see that it means before? This is after Yoav killed Avshalom. So the Kushi was sent to tell David about the death of his own son. So Achimatz knew that would not go well, that David should find out about the death of Avshalom from some random Kushi person that he doesn't know, so he said, I should be the one to tell him. Normally people don't like to do uncomfortable things. We'd be very happy to have someone else be the one to break the news, but Achimaat knew that wasn't good for David HaMelech, so even though it's highly uncomfortable, he went to go tell him so about the victory in war, but about the death of Avshalom his son. And when he ran Derech HaKikar, he went ahead of the Kushi, and the pasuk describes it as Avar Lifnehem. So you see that over means coming before. Or alternatively, the Abaye Amar Mehacha, Vahu Avar Lifnehem. I'm sorry, by Achimatz says Vayavar Esakushi. Abaye Amar Mehacha, Abaye says the second possibility, from when Yaakov met up with Esav, he split up his camp. The pasuk says, Vyasim Asir Shivchal Sos Yaldein Rishona Esleya Vilda Achronim Esrachel Es Yosef Achronim. And then Vahu Avar Lifnehem. Yaakov went in front to Esav, in front of his whole family. So you see over is Lashon of Kodem, that he came before any of the other family members to greet Esav. Or a third possibility that was said in the Nevuah of Micha is that the Melech will go in front of them b'milchama and Hashem will be Baroshim. So from all these psukim you see that over is a Lashon of Kodem, is a Lashon of prior to, of getting there first. So that's the rule by brachos, that you say all brachos are over las yasan. It begs the question, if over is a lashon of kodem, why not just say kol mitzvos kolim varchan aleihem kodem as yasan? You know, right? Not only does over mean kodem also means kodem. And we all know what the word kodem means. You don't need three psukim to bring a riot what kodem means. So the Ritva points out, because it's if you would say kodem, I would think even way before. Over sounds like right before, that you're doing you're saying the bracha immediately prior to performing the mitzvah. Why is it that we say a bracha prior to performing the mitzvah? So there are different reasons given in Rishonim why Chazal instituted brachos on the performance of mitzvahs in general. So the some Rishonim suggest, the Meiri suggests, that it should be clear that your kavana is l'shem mitzvah, that it's like mitzvah shichs kavana. So not only do you have to have kavana, you should make it evident that you're having kavana L'shei mitzvah. That's what the Meiri writes. The Ritva adds that they were mesakin bracha in order to be meskadesh first with a bracha, to let it be known that you're doing it because of mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. And he says brachas are part of avodas hanefesh, so avodas hanefesh should have a little avodas haguf prior to the performance of the mitzvah. And then he says another reason that Chazal tell us that you're not allowed to be nenem elam zeh below bracha. This is a suggestion that some of the Rishonim suggest that just like you're not allowed to get, and the Rambam implies this way, just like you're not allowed to get Hana'a from this world without saying a bracha, so just like you're not allowed to get Hana'a, Michael and Mishta and other Hana'os, Haguf without a bracha, so too a Kiyum Mitzvah it should not be done without a bracha, because you're getting schar for a Kiyum Mitzvah. So even though Mitzvah's lovely Hana'os Nitnu, that just means that halachically it's not considered to be Hana'a as far as a nether is concerned, but there's no doubt that there's plenty of pleasure and enjoyment in doing mitzvahs, and you're going to get plenty of pleasure from doing the mitzvah. You're going to get great schar in Olam Haba, and therefore you recite a bracha prior to doing a mitzvah. So the Ritva also alludes to this idea that we do the mitzvahs, when we do a mitzvah, we should do it with everything we've got. So when we do something fully, we do it b'dibur b'machshava b'maisa. So maisa is the actual mitzvah, machshava is the kavan of the mitzvah, and dibur, how do you do a mitzvah b'dibur, especially if it's not a mitzvah of dibur, netilas lulav, it's not a mitzvah of dibur. So that we do by reciting a bracha beforehand, and that way we complete the mitzvah b'dibur machshava b'maisa. That's the famous comment of the Nedib Yehuda, where someone asked the Nedib Yehuda, and the Nedib Yehuda has two tshuvas, one of Madura Kam, one of Madura Tinyana, where they ask him about l'shem yichud. So in one of the tshuvas they asked him, what's the proper nusach that one should say for l'shem yichud prior to a bracha? Either the person was joking, or they didn't know who they were asking the question to, because the Nedib Yehuda was not from the big Hasidim, and he was a big misnagid. And the Nedib Yehuda said that what do you mean proper nusach of l'shem yichud? Why don't you ask me if you should say l'shem yichud? I looked through all of Shas Bavli and Yerushalmi and Medrash Sifri Sifra. I never saw a nusach of l'shem yichud. So you're going to tell me that in our generation dafka we discovered new vistas in avodas Hashem, and now we know the shvilei shamayim, and we know exactly how to make things work up in Shemayim, and we could say things, these tefillahs of the Shem Yichud? He said, there's no such thing. He said, you're going to tell me, but you need to say it in order to serve Hashem, b'dibur b'machshava b'maisa, to have this full service of the Ribbono Shalom. He said, Chazal thought of that. That's why they came up with a Birchus HaMitzvah, that a Birchus HaMitzvah adds that element of dibur. That's when the Nedib Yehuda writes his famous line, where they actually edited out of a version of the Nedib Yehuda because it was so sharp, where the Nedib Yehuda writes, and this is what I say, Yesharim Darkei Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchubam, and the pasuk ends, Uposhim Yukashlubam, and he writes, V'chasidim Yukashlubam, and the Chasidim are Nichshol. So they, in later versions of the Nedib Yehuda, they changed it back to Uposhim Yukashlubam, which it doesn't really read straight, because why is he mentioning that Uposhim Yukashlubam in that context? And then I think they say the line, I don't know if this is true, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure there's some tradition for this, that the Nedib Yehuda said when he saw that they switched the nusach, he said, "I turned the poshim into chasidim. They turned the chasidim into poshim." You know, that was the that's the discussion about birchus mitzvah. So three possibilities of how I know that it's over las yasna. Tosos has a major discussion over here. How should one be notalulav, do the mitzvah of netilas lulav in a way that's in fact over las yasna? Because Tosus points out that you have a problem, because when you take the lulav, the halacha is mida'agbe, nafakbe. The second you pick up the lulav, you're already being yotzei the mitzvah. So is there any way that you could do it where you could say the bracha beforehand? So you say, simple, keep the lulav and the esrog on the table, say a bracha, and then pick them up. Tosus says, that's too early. That's too much before the mitzvah to have them on the table and then pick them up. It has to be, that's what we said, it's not kodem asyasin. Kodem asyasin would imply way before. It has to be over asyasin. Be right before. It can't be too much before. So Tosus suggests suggestion that we do. He says that you could be notel the lulav and the esrog, but hofech echad mehen, turn one of them upside down, because you're only yotzei these mitzvot derech gedilasan when you hold them right side up. So you're not yotzei the mitzvah if you lift. So our minhag is we lift the esrog upside down. The lulav would be a little bit challenging to lift upside down and flip over. So we just lift the esrog upside down when we initially say the bracha. And then we immediately flip the esrog over, and that way we're yotzei the mitzvah right away. Or Tosa says, maybe you could, after you take both of them, Maybe you can leave one of them on the table. Pick up one, and then pick up the then say the bracha and pick up the other one. And Tosfos says a number of he says maybe you could have it in mind, pick up both of them the right way, but have in mind that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, because even if you hold the mitzvah saying shrichas kavana, that's only that you don't need to have kavana for the mitzvah. But if you have kavana hefeches, you have kavana that you dafka don't want to do the mitzvah, so then you don't want to be mekayim the mitzvah. Then you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So maybe pick it up and have in mind not to be mekayim the mitzvah till after the bracha, and then as soon as you change your mind, it will be an immediate kiyum of the mitzvah. Or he says, you know what? Maybe it could be. He says, inami, in the last skinny line, mishum delo gamra mitzvah so adachar ni'anua. He says it could be that you're still allowed to say the bracha after you pick it up. Ah, you already mekayim the mitzvah. Yeah, but you weren't gomer the mitzvah. The completion of the mitzvah is only after the na'anuim. And he says, you know, we have such a similar thing when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, that most people have the practice that we wash Netilas Yadayim and then we recite the bracha. That's so odd. Shouldn't we recite the bracha prior to Netilas Yadayim? So the explanation is because we only complete the mitzvah after the niguv of the Yadayim, after the drying of the hands. So since there's still what to do to complete the mitzvah, it's still considered in some sense over Las Yasan. Rav Shachter has the practice what it says in Shulchan Aruch to say the bracha val Netilas Yadayim before Netilas Yadayim, before washing his hands. Our practice is like what Tosa says, that we do after washing the hands but before the niguv. But a lot of people make a mistake. They think because they're saying an al netil sidayim only after washing, before the niguv, that they're still allowed to talk after their washing. And that's really the worst place to talk. The people think that you could talk after you wash, before you finish drying your hands, because you didn't say the bracha yet. But in between the bracha of Netilas Yadayim and Amotzi, that's when you really can't talk. Now, it's not right to talk in between the bracha of Netilas Yadayim and Amotzi, but it's much worse to talk in between washing your hands and reciting the bracha, because the bracha is supposed to be over Las Yasan on the Maisa of Netila. So to split it up by being mafsik in speech in between them, so that's really not right. That's really improper. People shouldn't do such a thing. Okay, so now we move on to the sugya of Shemitah. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about Shemitah, Srogim, and Lulavim, Adasim, and Ravus, and he points out that there are two of the Dalad Minim where there's no Shaila, where there's absolutely nothing to talk about whether it has Kedusha Shvius or not. He says it's Pashut, that our Ravos have no Kedusha Shvius, and it's because it's nothing. There's no Hana'a, there's nothing you get, no benefit you get from it, and it's Pashut that an Esrog does have Kedusha Shvius. The other two are where there's a suffix, right? When it comes to a lulav and when it comes to hadasim. We're going to see our Gemara is going to imply something very strongly about a lulav. But the peiros that grow during the Shemitah year have kedusha shvius. Because of that kedusha, the Torah tells us you can't treat them like regular peiros, and therefore you're not allowed to do certain things with these peiros. One of the things you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to do schora with peiros of shvius. The Gemara is going to bring from Psukim. The yisra schora means that it's usher to pick the peiros of Shvius with the intention to sell them and to make money off of them. Things that are not roi la'achila and that are not hanaso biuro shava, that you don't use them up when you benefit from them, do not have kedusha shvius, and therefore you would be allowed to do schora with such items that are not hanaso biuro shava, that you don't use up as you benefit from them. The Gemara is also going to say that if you sell peros that have kedusha, the money that you get for those peros are also kadosh b'kedusha Shvius, and the peros remain kadosh. But if you buy with that money, you buy other peros, then the money is no longer kadosh with kedusha shvius. It's those other peros that have kedusha shvius. So kedusha shvius always remains on the original peros, and whatever the last thing was changed for, right? Meaning, if it was changed for money, then money, and then that money to other peros, then that peros, and it goes off of the money. So says the Mishnah, lokeach lulav mechaver. If a person buys lulav and all the dalad minim from his friend who's now maaretz Shvius during the Shemitah year. So since Namaritz is Chashal Shvius, the Chum say, you're not allowed to buy an Esrog that has Kedusha Shvius from him. And therefore, when you buy from him all the Minim, you should say, Nosin lo Esrog Matana. You should ask him, give me the Esrog as a Matana, v'shein Rashi locha b'Shvius, because I can't pay you money for an Esrog during Shemitah year. Can't do schara with peros shvius, so give me the esrog as a matana. So says the Gemara, lo ratzu litein lo matana mahu. What if the Amaret says, what, are you kidding me? I'm going to give you the esrog as a matana. Why would I give you the esrog as a matana? No way. So then what do you do? So Amrafuna mavliya ledmei esrog bululav. No, then you tell him, I'm not going to pay you any less. I'm just going to make this a really expensive lulav. So I'm going to pay you a lot more money for the lulav. Aleph, and through that we'll pay for the Esrog. So the Esrog will remain a matana. So asks the Gemara on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said you have to ask the Am Haaretz that he gives you the Esrog as a matana. Why is it also for him to give him the money straight out for the Esrog? So it says Gemara, I mean, why can't you just pay for the Esrog? What would be the problem with that? So the Gemara says, "Lefi shein mosin to make perush shvi islam ha'aretz," because the Chum made a gezera that since there's a mitzvah's biur on perush of shviyas and on the demay perush shviyas, because the damim also takes on kedusha shviyas, it's also to do schoru with them, to put them away for after shviyas and to become wealthy, because in such a situation the perush and the money are not going to be misbayer b'shviyas. You have to, there's a mitzvah's biur. So since the amei aretz are chashu that they're going to put aside this money for after shviyas, the Chum say you're not allowed to pay them. Give them Demei Shvius. Now I'll give them something that's now going to have Kedusha Shvius. Because if you give them the money that is going to have Kedusha Shvius, it's going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver, Lo Siten Michshal, that the Amaretz is going to put the money aside for after Shvius. So that's why you're not allowed to pay for the Esrog straight out, because you're not allowed to barter you're not allowed to give him something, you're not allowed to provide the Amaretz with something that's going to have Kedusha Shvius. Detanya, because the Braisa tells us, Ein Moslem Demei Per Shvius Amaretz Yoser, Mi Muslim Shalosh Su Udos, that you're not allowed to give money for Perush Shvius to Namar. It's more than 3 meals worth that he needs just to live that day. Because sometimes the person needs the money in order to buy food for Suda Shabbos, and since on it's Mutzar and Erev Shabbos, to give him 3 meals worth, so we allow it throughout the week as well. Even though during the week we assume a person only eats 2 meals, on Shabbos a person eats 3 meals, so on Erev Shabbos you're allowed to give him 3 meals worth of money, so throughout the rest of the week we allow giving 3 meals worth of money, but more than 3 meals worth of money, you're not allowed to purchase from an Am Haaretz, and therefore you're not allowed to buy an Esrog, because an Esrog Shel Mitzvah is going to cost more than 3 meals worth of money. Tosa says, really? How much does an Esrog cost already? It's a fruit. What does it cost so much money? So if you look at Tosos and the second last Tosos, Mashmash Yesh B'Tmei Esrog Yosem Mimazon Shalosh Udos, sounds from here that an Esrog costs more than 3 meals worth. Aye, but the Mishnah says in Me'ila, Nasan Lo Shtei Prutos, if you give 2 Prutos to somebody and you say, Haveli Esrog Ba'achas U Ba'achas Rimon, go buy me with these 2 prutos, 1 esrog and 1 rimon. So it sounds like an esrog is worth only a single pruta. So how can you say that an esrog is worth more than 3 meals worth? So says Tosus, yeah, if you buy an esrog in February, you know, just to eat, so then in a chinam it will cost a pruta. As a fruit, that's what it costs. But you buy an esrog for a mitzvah, and it needs to be hadar, it needs to be beautiful, and it can't be chaser, and it has to be, and it's at a time when everybody needs an esrog, so then it's going to cost a lot more money. So then it's going to be more than 3 meals worth to buy an esrog, right? But as a fruit, it's not such an expensive fruit, but as a mitzvah, it's not a cheap mitzvah. So anyway, v'masar, but let's say a person forgot and he gave the money to the Am Haaretz, and now the money has kedusha shvius. So because shvius is tofesus estabah, as we explained, so the chum rechoshish that the Am Haaretz is not going to be mekayim the dinim of shvius properly, and he's going to leave the money aside until after shvius. So now we require you to be mechalal the money that you gave him on other payros that you have in your house, so that you can treat those payers with kedusha shviyas, and the money that you just gave to the Am Haaretz won't have kedusha. So Yomar, you should say, Hare Moz Halalu, this money that I gave to the Am Haaretz, you mechulalin al peros sheyesh li b'toch beisi, should now become chulin, and in exchange for the payers that I have in my house, and those payers that I have in my house instead should take on the status of kedusha shviyas. That's what a person should say. Uba bi ochlin b'kedusha shviyas, and then you have to treat those payers with actual kedusha Shvius, which means you're allowed to eat them, you're allowed to drink them, you can do sicha, adakas aner, but you're not allowed to destroy them in a less than ideal way. By medvar mamurim, when do we say that you're allowed to buy peros shvius from an Am Haaretz for 3 meals worth? I mean, we said as long as you're paying only 3 meals worth of food, the money to buy 3 meals worth of food, it's okay to buy from an Am Haaretz. That's only belokech min amufkar. That's only if you saw that he took the Am Haaretz took these peros from a field that was hefker. So since the Amorites didn't guard the field, so you're allowed to buy, the peros and pay up to 3 meals worth of money. But more than that, the Chum said it's also to buy from him, because if you give him more than that, we have to be worried that he's going to put the money away. Aval belokech min hamashumar. But if we're talking about where the Amorites got the peros that he's selling to from a field that's mishumeres, that was locked up and that was not left hefker, afilu bekachatzi iser aser. It's even aser to pay even just a little bit, even a chatzi iser, because he's chashud that he was not mafker his field. So we have to be choshesh that is he's doing schora with peros of shviyas. Meaning there are two separate issues: is the iser of treating peros of shviyas with proper kedusha and money of peros shviyas with proper kedusha, and then there's an iser of schora with peros shviyas. So even though he's selling some of the peros less than the 3 meals worth of money, maybe he needs that for kedei chayav. Even so, the Chum asked to buy from him because they assume that he's not being mocher these peros for kedei chayav. He's doing it because he wants to do a harama that people shouldn't know that he's really doing scharu with peros shviyas. Meaning, you think you're the only one that he's selling an esrog to for 3 meals worth of money? No, he's doing that with 10 people today. So all of this is schora. All of this is to be able, it's not to live, it's to be able to make money. And if it's to be able to make money, then it's a violation of schora with peros shviyas. So masav Rav Sheshes challenges umin amufkar shalosh sudas. When a person buys from a hefker field, you're allowed to buy only three sudas vesulo, and you're not allowed to buy for more money than that. Urminhi, but I'll ask you a stira, because it says hapega v'hayarbuzin v'hashetim v'chalgalogos v'akuspar shebaharim v'akarpa shebenaharos v'agargil shel afar. All of these things are not considered chashuv of fruits. Pturim in a meiser. They're all part of a meiser because people don't treat them with any sort of chashivus, and no one would ever guard them. Everyone is always naturally mafker them, and a hefker is always part of a meiser. How do I know hefker is part of a meiser? Because the pasuk says uba levi kein lo chelik v'nachle imach. So the Chum darshin that dafka is something that the levi doesn't have a chelik and nachle imach, then the levi can come and take his meisos. But hefker or leket shechopeya, which are things that he does have a chelik imach, is part of a meiser. So hefker is part of a meiser. So these items that everyone always makes hefker are putter from meiser. V'nikach mikolad meshvius. And another din about them is you could buy them from anybody during shmita year, because even though they have kedusha shvius, there's no iser to buy them from an amar. It's l'fishem keotzeh ben nishmar, because it's not the derech for people to guard these things, and therefore you don't have to worry that the amar is going to guard them during shvius. And even though you don't know for sure that he was mafker these things, but since it's not the derech to guard these things, you can assume he was mafker these things, and therefore you can pay for such peros. You don't have to worry about the isra schora. Now, all the price said is nikach, that you're allowed to buy. It didn't set a limit on it. It didn't say you're allowed to buy up until 3 meals worth of money. No, it just said you're allowed to buy. So isn't this a stira? We said before that you're only allowed to buy up until 3 meals worth. So says Mara, who most of love, whom farik love. The same person who asked the question came up with the answer on his own. That when it says v'nikachin, it means the amount that he needs from his onos. It means what he needs to eat. The mazon of shalosh sudos. V'chein amar Rabba bar Bechana amar Rabbi Yochanan b'kedei man shanu. It means what he needs to eat. My mashma da'ay man lishon de mazoni. Who says, how do I know that the word man b'kedei man means a lashon of mazon? That Rav Sheshes and Rabba bar Bechana said b'kedei man, that they mean by that is whatever he needs for mazonos, for mazon. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says v'yiman lahem. It says Dvar Yom B'Yomo Mi Pas Bag HaMelech Mi Yayin Mishtav. So Vayiman HaMelech describes giving pas and giving yayin. It describes that the melech is giving tzorchei suuda. So that's how you know that the lashon of man is the lashon of mazon. Now we said that if you purchase a lula from Nama Aretz, you're not allowed to pay for the esrog. You should ask that he gives you the esrog as a matana. And the Gemara explained that the reason you're not allowed to pay for the esrog is because you don't give money of shviyas to Nama Aretz. So frankly, Gemara, if it's true that you're not allowed to give to me peros shviyas to Nama Aretz, lulav nami, by the lulav it should also be the same iser should apply, because the lulav also has kedusha shviyas. So how could it be that the Mishnah allows you to pay for the lulav and we don't ask her give paying for the lulav on account of giving to me peros shviyas to Nama Aretz? So the Gemara asks, shouldn't we be equally concerned about the lulav? Which is interesting, Because the Gemara seems to be taking it for granted that a lulav has kedusha shvius, right? So the answer is Gemara: lulav bar shishas hanichnas shvius hu. The lulav, the chanata, was during the 6th year. The lakita was during the 7th year, and therefore it's not going to have kedusha shvius. Meaning the din that peros that have kedusha shvius, peros have kedusha shvius, is only peros that grow during the shemitah year. There are two shiurim through which a pri is considered to grow during the shemitah year, each for different types of peros. One shear is the Zman Chanata, that if the pre was Chanat, that it starts to flower during the Shemitah year, it's considered that it grew during the Shemitah year. And the other is the Zman Lakita of the pre. When you pick the peros during the Shemitah year, then it's considered Shemitah peros. By peros Elon, the Dine Shvius follow the Chanata, that the year that the Chanata happened, that the flowering happened, that the sprouting happened, that's called that's the year of that fruit. And if the Chanata was in the 6th year, even though the Lakita was in the 7th year, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. So a lulav that was Chanat Bashishas, you not know a Kedusha Shvius, because therefore you're allowed to give the money to Namaret. So, Frak Namar Yahachi, Asrog Nami Bashishas, Chesl Shvius. Should an Asrog have the same din? So, if it's that year's lulav, it's that year's Asrog as well. So it says, no. Asrog Basa Lakita. When it comes to an Asrog, we follow the Lakita. And since the Asrog was Nilkat during the Shemitah year, even though the Chanata happened during the 6th year, we follow, it has Kedusha Shvius, and you're not allowed to give the money for Nam Aretz. Now, the reason that the din of Yerek is different than the din of Ilanos is because Chacham Darshan Ba'aspecha Megarnecha Meyikvecha, that just like Gorin and Yekev grow on Megashabim of the previous year, so you follow the year that they started to grow, the year of the Chanata, so too by all trees that grow on Megashabim of the previous year, so the halacha is you follow the Chanata, as opposed to your Rakos, which grow Al Kol Mayim. You have to water them, even with Mayim Shu'uvim, and rainwater is not enough. So then you don't follow the Chanata, you follow the Lakita. So in that sense, an Esrog is like Yerakos, because an Esrog is Gadol Al Kol Mayim. You need to water the Esrog tree, so therefore it has a din of a Yerek, and you follow the Lakita. So that's why Kedusha Shvius will be knowing on an Esrog that the Lakita happened b'Shvius, even though the Chanata happened during the sixth year. Now the Torah goes there, the Perus Ilan. We'll stop there. So that's the difference between a lulav versus an esrog. So Be'ez Hashem will continue this discussion tomorrow of purchasing the Shemitah produce from the Ama Aretz when it comes to Dalid Min. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up with V'Habein Raman Gamliel, V'Habein Rabbi Eliezer tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day. And again, tomorrow's shiur will be at 6:15. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much. Have a nice one.
Thank you very much.
Take care.